Good morning and welcome to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative. Coming to you this morning from the Siouxland Chamber Radio Studio on the lower level of our offices at 101 Pierce Street in the heart of downtown Sioux City. Happy New Year. Hopefully you guys have had a great start to 2026. As we begin each Saturday, we want to thank our producer, Mr. Justin Barker of Powell Broadcasting. And JB and I wish to collectively thank Mr. Chris Bogenreef of NAI United, the longtime sponsor of this Grow Siouxland radio program. Folks, we're very pleased to have a first-time guest in studio with us this morning, Colonel Adam Carlson, the wing commander of the 185th Air Refueling Wing of the Iowa Air National Guard, is our guest for the next half hour. Colonel Carlson, welcome to Grow Siouxland.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
We're delighted to have you. I've gotten to know you a little bit since you returned to the community. My responsibility this morning is to introduce you to the KSCJ listening audience, and we're going to talk during the course of the next half an hour about all of the things that you're involved with as the new wing commander and leader of this now 75, pushing 80-year-old Air National Guard base or wing right here in our Siouxland community. But as we do each Saturday morning, we begin by introducing our guests to our listening audience, and we generally like to start with this question. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up.
All right. So originally a military brat, so born in Colorado, but moved to Iowa when I was really young. Grew up around the Ames area till after high school, and then went to college at Buena Vista and joined the National Guard shortly after that. Moved to Sioux City right after college and been here ever since.
Well, we're going to back up because we don't allow anybody to plow through their background from grade school through high school and college as expeditiously as you just did. So what town did you grow up in? Ames or
grew up Ames, in
Ames proper? Did you go to, were you an Ames high school kid?
I was a little Cyclone.
Little Cyclone. Where'd you go to grade school?
Crawford when I was in sixth grade, and then Mitchell. I believe that's right.
Were you
so
a,
long ago.
So were you an athlete? Were you a musician? Were you in debate, drama, theater, all the above?
I label myself more on the athletic side.
And so, what sports did you participate in?
Growing up, baseball, football, big into wrestling, so.
Okay. That's something I just learned about you. I didn't know that you and I shared a wrestling background. And if you were in Ames, you were kind of in the epicenter with Iowa State University and the history and the legacy of that program, Dan Gable, Cale Sanderson, and they're doing great things again. But what was it like to grow up in a college town like Ames with Iowa State University?
It was good and bad. It had some advantages and disadvantages. So I actually lived pretty close to the university, which would get a little busy, a little noisy on the weekends, but it had its advantages mainly in the wrestling season. So we got a lot of the Iowa State wrestlers that would come in and help us during practice.
Yep.
We'd also get to use the facilities kind of on the weekend to get some extra training. And so we had a good relationship with the college as Ames High. So it really helped us out as student athletes.
Yeah, what a great advantage. What position did you play in baseball?
I was a catcher.
Are you a righty? You have to be a righty.
I am. I would say I was a catcher until my knees couldn't take it anymore. And yeah. Then I gave up baseball and just played football and wrestling.
It's a great sport. I love baseball. The older I get, the more I appreciate the nuance of the game. But yeah, that's a behind the plate takes a toll, and especially on the knees.
Yeah. Most people can't do it their whole career.
And how about football?
Football, I was a linebacker. I wouldn't say I was really the best football player, but I made it through.
You enjoyed it. You're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSEJ 1360 AM, 94.9 FM. Our guest this morning is Colonel Adam Carlson. Colonel Carlson is the recently named wing commander of the 185th Air Refueling Wing of our Iowa Air National Guard unit right here in Sioux City, located adjacent and co-located with the Sioux Gateway Airport, Brigadier General Bud Day Field. And Colonel Carlson, after high school, how did you make your decision on where you wanted to go to college?
So I wouldn't say I really had a decision. So my dad was in the unit, and one weekend at home from college, he kind of just said, hey, go get your stuff. You're going to the recruiter. You're going to join the Guard.
So were you in college at the time?
I was.
And where were you and what were you studying?
So I was a freshman at Buena Vista University in Storm Lake, studying management information systems.
Okay. Now, your father, so you're a legacy in that your father was also in the unit.
Yeah.
Did you expect that he was going to say, get your stuff, we're going to the recruiter, or was this just a just out of the blue?
No, I don't think it was really a secret in our household that I was going to join the guard, so...
The
date was the shock, not necessarily the joining up.
Were you apprehensive? Were you eager or somewhere in between?
No, I was eager. I'd been out to the base quite a bit since he was out here, so I knew kind of what to expect. So it wasn't – the eagerness was more awaiting basic training and things like that, not necessarily the joining the military part.
All right, so you enlisted, I'm going to guess, 19 years old?
18
years old. You're a freshman in college, and basic is probably going to come that summer, or did you take off a semester?
No, I did basic training and tech school in between my freshman and sophomore year. So that break, I was able to get both basic training and tech school done.
So was basic San Antonio, Lackland Air Force Base?
It was, yep.
Okay, 6 weeks?
Yes.
And then you went to tech school right away?
Yep, left from basic training on a bus and went right to Shepherd Air Force Base.
Okay, and what did you do at Shepherd? What was your MOS?
So I was a aircraft fuel systems journeyman, so working on the fuel system of the F-16s.
And did you expect to go to flight school at the time? Was
no.
that always the plan?
No, my whole plan really was, hey, I'm going to get through college. You know, the benefits are great, so it's going to get me through college, and then after that, kind of see, do I stay in or do I, you know, get out? But really, it was to remain a part-time enlisted member of the unit.
Okay. So, of course, you wear wings on your chest today, and indicating that you are an Air Force aviator. What was the catalyst that had you reconsider and say maybe flight school is a possibility?
Yeah, so, when I was a senior in college, really had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. So still, even with a degree coming, I wasn't sure that was really going to be the right fit for me. And talking to my dad, he just out of the blue was like, hey, you know, they're hiring pilots. Do you ever think about doing that? Well, no, I'd never flown an airplane. You know, I think I'd ridden on an airplane once, but he's like, well, why don't you go try it? So interviewed to be a pilot with the unit and got picked up. So that was the start of my pilot career.
So, if I remember my career path, which was similar, enlisted and then interviewed to go to flight school and flight school, but it was officer candidate school next, and I assume that was the case for you.
Correct.
And Academy of Military Science still back in the day?
It was back in the day,
McGee,
yes.
Tyson, Knoxville, Knoxville, Tennessee.
6 weeks of officer basic training.
Yes.
Probably not as hard as the enlisted basic.
Yes, career. Fork and knife school, as some people say. So 6 weeks there, come home, and then fish pot? Was that, did you guys still do fish pot? Flight screening down at Lackland? No.
No. So okay. In between, after I graduated college and after being selected to be a pilot, the Air Guard actually sent me over to Martin Field to get my private pilot license. So it was a little different back then. They actually paid for me to get my pilot license. So
nice.
All summer after my senior year of college, I was flying little Cessna 152s out at Martin Field.
So great advantage when you get into the tweet, right? You kind of knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Did they still have the tweet?
I think they're getting rid of. I think they've gotten rid of the tweet.
Well, I know they have, but they do have it.
Yeah.
So you flew the tweet.
Oh yeah.
And what came next? What was after tweets?
Well, after I got my hearing back because the tweet is so
yes.
loud, it was T1s.
Okay.
So kind
because
of
we had converted, when you got in, you were F-16s, and they converted to the KC-135. So
correct.
You're flying a heavier aircraft. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Gross Hooland, our guest, Colonel Adam Carlson. Adam, somewhere along the line, you met your lovely wife, and you're the father of three children. Tell us about your family.
Yeah, so I've been married almost 20 years and got three kids. Oldest is a junior in high school. And then my daughter is a middle school, and my youngest son is in fifth grade.
And your wife is also serving in uniform at this time.
She is. I actually met her at the unit, so saw her getting off an airplane. She deployed with my dad right after I graduated from college. Went to pick him up, saw her get off the airplane, and was kind of one of those, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to marry that girl."
Really?
Yeah. It was kind of saw her and just knew. So. First thing my dad said was, "You are not marrying that girl." Well, what's a guy do when his dad says don't do something? you're obviously going
to
do it.
So that's a great story. Did she come to that same conclusion as rapidly as you did?
No, it took some work. It took a lot of work. So I definitely married up. We'll put it that way.
Yes. Well, good for you. And we always appreciate more those things which are require a little more effort and time invested. But 20 years, congratulations, and the father of three. Do any of those children have an interest in following mom and dad into the armed services?
They do. My oldest, I actually took him to MEPS right about a month and a half ago. So he's exploring his possibilities of joining the Air National Guard.
Wonderful. You're listening to Grow Siouxland. Our guest today is Colonel Adam Carlson, the wing commander of the 185th Air Refueling Wing of the Iowa Air National Guard, located right here in Sioux City. In December, President Donald Trump signed the National Defense Authorization Act, and that has resources allocated or authorized for the 185th. After a short commercial break, we're going to visit with Adam Carlson about funding of infrastructure for our Air National Guard unit. We'll be right back after a short commercial break.
Looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial property in Siouxland? One call is all you need. And now, celebrating 20 years in commercial property, the largest and highest producing real estate in Siouxland. Speak with Chris Bogenry, President, Bo Bronger, Nathan Connolly, Lawrence Jensen, and Madison Craighead. NAI has your answers for commercial real estate in all corners of Siouxland. All NAI agents are licensed in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Put NAI United to work for you. Celebrating 20 years. Learn more at NAI United.
Welcome back to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative, serving as your host and wishing everyone a very happy new year. And don't forget, national championship football game on Monday night. I know an awful lot of people are looking forward to that, and should be an outstanding game. I'm looking forward to it myself. Our guest this morning, for those of you who were with us in the first half of the program, know that Colonel Adam Carlson is the wing commander of the 185th Air Refueling Wing. Colonel Carlson grew up in the Ames area, went to Buena Vista for college, and enlisted in the Air National Guard as a college freshman about 18 years old. And all these decades later, he is the wing commander with responsibility for somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 guardsmen and guardswomen. Is that correct?
Correct.
So a significant number of part-time traditional guardsmen, somewhere 600-700, and somewhere between 200-300 full-time.
Correct. About two-thirds of the force is part-time.
And we're grateful for your service and also the service of your wife, Lieutenant Colonel Carlson. So please pass our regards on to her. You come from a military family. Your father also served, and we appreciate his service. My father served with the 185th, went to Vietnam with the unit, Phucat, Vietnam, from 1968 to 69. I also served with the unit for a period of time in the early 1990s. And so there's a legacy for my family like there is for yours, and it's just an outstanding unit. And I think that a unit that can recommend to their own children that this is a great place to serve speaks volumes about the history and the caliber and the character of the people who choose to serve right here with our Air National Guard unit.
Yeah, I think the people are really what make the unit so great. And, you know, we talk about legacy and heritage, so my dad was in the unit, kind of got me in the unit, met my wife in the unit, but it's also my sister has found her way into the unit now. She started coming around the unit. She actually met her husband, who's also in the unit. So it's a little bit bigger family ordeal than just me and dad and my wife. So
it's really remarkable. And as I said, I think it speaks volumes about the caliber of the unit when familial recommendations generation after generation say, hey, you want to be a part of this. And we're so proud to have that unit. And Adam, I know that you've had a unique path to this leadership role, rather unconventional. Tell us a little bit about how your path is different from a traditional member of the unit and how it included service at the Pentagon.
Yeah, so like you said, my path is not the normal Air National Guard career path that one would take, but one we're hoping will be more common in the future. And so for me, I haven't spent my whole time at the 185th. Now, I consider myself a lifelong 185th member and have always been attached to the unit, but about the 2016 timeframe, I got a call to go be the executive officer for the commander at the Air National Guard Readiness Center, kind of the headquarters for the Air National Guard. I'd never thought about doing anything like that, and it was General Salmon, as, or then Colonel Salmon, as they called, and kind of filled me in on the requirements, thought I would be good. So I actually got a big push from her to kind of go and try something different. So that kind of got me started on my initial path outside of out of the 185th. That position actually turned into me going to work for General Langell, who was the chief in the National Guard Bureau at the time. I became his aide-de-camp. Did that for just a little under 2 years. And
to interrupt, as the chief of the National Guard, that's a four-star general who also sits on the Joint Chiefs of Staff with the President of the United States.
Correct. So added responsibility. So on top of being in charge of all 450,000 National Guard members, also sits on the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
So an awesome responsibility. And you said 2 years there.
Did it just under 2 years in that position. So came back after that, was hired in to be a commander, a squadron commander here at the base. Did that for a few years. Went back out to D.C. for military education. Did that for a year. Came back, did group command here at the wing, and then went back out, got picked up to, I worked on the Office of the Secretary of Defense staff for a little while. That transitioned to another joint opportunity on the National Guard Bureau staff, and I did that for about 2 years. And then came back here just in May of this year, or May of last year.
And we hope to keep you around for a little while, but I know that the Pentagon will beckon once again at some point, which is actually good for the unit.
It is. It brings showcase to the unit, but the people that actually go out to the national level get a better understanding of the big picture, or the inner workings of why we're doing the things that we're doing.
Which ultimately is so critical to making sure that our Air National Guard unit remains on, pardon the pun, the radar screen of the leadership in D.C.
Correct. I think when it comes to, as you look at, hey, what does your unit need for the future, you got to determine that, but you're also going to rely on a lot of those relationships at the higher levels to be able to get the things you need.
And Colonel Carlson, I do want to comment on some of the things that the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative have been involved with in supporting and promoting this Air National Guard wing. I do know that there are some restrictions that accompany your leadership role when it comes to interfacing with the federal government. And so I'm just going to take just a moment to explain to the listening audience what the National Defense Authorization Act is, what it means, and why it's so important to this unit and our community. But on December 18th, the President of the United States signed legislation which included a $220 million authorization for infrastructure for our local Air National Guard unit. That $220 million, passed by the House, passed by the Senate, and signed by the President, is an authorization, not an appropriation. And so the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce, the Siouxland Initiative, working with our United States Senators, Senator Chuck Grassley, Senator Joni Ernst, also working with our representative in the U.S. House, Congressman Randy Feenstra, will be working diligently to convert that $220 million authorization into an appropriation, because it's critically important that we fund infrastructure. That will go for runways, ramps, aprons, potentially hangars, because 25 years ago, when we converted from F-16s to KC-135 refueling tankers, we had to thicken the concrete. We had to lengthen the runway for this much larger aircraft. That did not happen because funds were diverted to focus on the war on terror post 9/11. And so here we are, Colonel, all these years later. How important is this infrastructure to your unit?
So it's vital to our continued mission success. So like you said, the runway is not, it isn't long enough, it isn't deep enough, which means it can't carry the weight of a larger aircraft that we fly today. So to be able to do our full mission, we need a longer and thicker runway to make that happen.
And again, I know that there are some pretty standard restrictions that prevent members of the armed forces from lobbying and advocating for these things. So the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative have stepped up. We're working closely with our congressional delegation The Siouxland Chamber Washington Conference, led by our Executive Vice President, our Leader of Government Relations, Barbara Sloniker, will make this a priority when we go back to D.C. on April 22nd and 23rd. And again, while you can't be directly involved in some areas of this, I know that you're pleased to see your community once again supporting this important unit.
Oh, I'm very pleased and very thankful. So this has been a long, tedious process to get to where we are now, to have it authorized in the National Defense Authorization Act. So, but the amount of people and organizations that came together to get us to this point, we talked TSI, the Chamber, the City of Sioux City. I know Mayor Bob Scott's done a lot on our behalf. All the congressional leaders that have helped get us to this point. Even members of the airport board, everybody has come together to make sure we had a good plan. We're able to do the things that we needed to do to get our infrastructure where we needed it to be.
Yeah, I even want to get a shout out to one of our past wing commanders in retirement. Colonel Brian Miller has continued to advocate. He's been very active in the expansion of the Oracle Aviation, now Ascension Aviation, FBO, to increase some of the activity at the airport. And so awful lot of organizations and diverse constituencies coming together to support our 185th. And that's something we can all take pride in.
Yeah, no, I think this project has more implications than just on the unit itself. There's implications for the tower, the fire department. So I think this is a whole, you know, and the almost 1,000 jobs that reside at the 185th.
Critically important to the community. And Colonel Carlson, in the final minute that we have left together today, what is your vision for the future of the 185th, and what do you hope to accomplish in your leadership capacity as the wing commander over your tenure in that important role?
Yeah, so when I became wing commander, I set a couple priorities that we wanted to tackle. So the first one is taking care of our people. So really making sure we have the next generation of leaders lined up and trained to take our positions when the leadership team leaves. Readiness is another one, making sure we are ready for today and tomorrow's fight. And then innovation and improvement. So the big thing that really getting the ramp and the runway infrastructure projects across the finish line. And once that happens, that sets us up for future, you know, future growth, future mission sets, looking at brand new aircraft for the unit in the future.
Well, Colonel, thank you for being our guest. And please extend our thanks on behalf of a grateful community. Please extend our appreciation to all the men and women who serve in the Iowa Air National Guard, and specifically the 185th.
Will do. I appreciate you having me on.
You've been listening to Grow Siouxland. Our guest today, Colonel Adam Carlson of the 185th Air Refueling Wing. We'll have more next Saturday morning. Make it a great weekend.